Tonight we'll be back in 1 Peter chapter number 2, if you find your place there. The Lord will just not let me leave this. I tried to last week to just give you the last two points and move on, but I don't have liberty, so we're going to be here again tonight in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. We'll get to read this verse. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." And we've looked at the steps of Jesus. He is our great example. Now, this Sunday school series is supposed to be about the extraordinary journey of New Testament figures and men and women that have gone on in the shadow of Christ and gone on forward for Him. But, of course, our great example is Jesus Christ, and we must follow Him just as those disciples and all those great men and women of the Bible follow Jesus. And Pastor Ennis years ago wrote an article, I believe it was in a newspaper article or back to a newspaper article about the voices in the wind or the voices on the air, something like that, a little pamphlet Pastor Ennis wrote many years ago. And it's talking about the voices that are all around us. Who should we listen to on these voices? Who should we follow? Who should we give our attention to in this day and age where we're hearing all of these voices? You know, radio commentators, if you turn on your radio and you'll hear commentators telling you how to live. We'll have those TV preachers sometimes will tell you how to give. And we'll have those politicians, especially right now, telling us how to vote. My phone is being overloaded right now with phone calls and text messages. I've never seen such a thing as going on right now, overloading people, telling them they need to get out and vote. And we do. We need to vote. That is our civic duty. That is the duty that we have served in the military, have fought for that right all through ages. We need to vote. But we need to vote biblically. So we have radio commentators telling us how to live. We have TV preachers telling us how to give. We have politicians telling us how to vote. We have entertainers and athletes telling us how to succeed. With editorials, with magazines, with newspapers, with radio and television, there is a constant stream of those voices telling us what to do, how to do, what to think, what choice to make, how to live. It's never ending in our world today. But the Bible, the Word of God, admonishes Christians that the one to listen to is the one we are to follow, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to listen to Christ and to follow His steps, the Bible tells us here in 1 Peter 2:21. Also over in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul writes and says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." We're not to follow Paul because of who Paul is. We're to follow Paul because of his example he has taken from Christ and to follow Christ. So Paul is not our great example. Christ is our example. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great example. Greed never touched Christ. Power never corrupted him. Worldliness never reached him. Incompetence never tripped him up. Personal ambition never swayed him. Selfishness never chained him. He is worthy of our great example. He's our leader. He is someone we should follow after. If we follow after the Lord and seek to follow His footsteps, as it says here in verse 21, then we're going to follow Him. We need to follow His example. And we've been looking at that example. So let's pray before we get into the study tonight, thinking about the example that Jesus has left us. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that we have the Word of God, that we can trust it to know that it's not a truth, but it's the truth. There is no error. There is no contradiction. What we hold in our hand is the very Word of God. And Lord, from that we can take and learn and see the example of Christ that He has left for us. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us this night to follow the example of Jesus, to be better Christians for your service. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look and have been looking at these several characteristics of our Lord and His example that we're to follow, we've seen we need to follow in the footsteps of His priorities. He always put God first. Jesus Christ always came to do the will of the Father, and He never shirked that duty. We need to follow in the footsteps of His prayerfulness. Think of how many times Jesus was found praying. My, if He needed a relationship with the Father, we need one much more. We need to be people of prayer. Then we also saw we need to follow in the footsteps of His people's centeredness. He welcomed all to Him. Those boys and girls He welcomed to Him, even when the disciples tried to push them aside. He welcomed the sinners. He welcomed the publicans. He welcomed the lame, the blind, those that are sick, those of leprosy. He welcomed them all to Himself, as well as His enemies He welcomed to Himself. We need to follow that example and welcome all to us. Not to be bigoted, not to be racist, not to be preferential in who we associate with. This should be an open church to all to come in and to hear about our Savior. So we need to follow in the footsteps of His priorities. We need to follow in the footsteps of His prayerfulness. We need to follow in the footsteps of His people-centeredness. We also saw last week we need to follow in the footsteps of His purity. Oh my, we could talk about that again as we did last week. The purity. There was nothing impure in Jesus. We can look at ourselves and look back at that positional and conditional purity. Go back and listen to that message and that lesson. Help us to be pure before the Lord. So this week, as we continue this introductory lesson that's four lessons in now, how to follow the footsteps of Jesus, our great example. Not only do we need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus in these that we have mentioned, His priorities, His prayerfulness, His people-centeredness, His purity, but we also need to follow in the footsteps of His perseverance. The writer of the book of Hebrews understood this all too well. He understood the perseverance or the endurance of our Savior. Go over to the book of Hebrews. Go back just a couple chapters in Hebrews chapter number 12. And let's look just at a few verses. We'll spend most of the night here. Hebrews chapter 12. Look first at verse number 2. Let me pull out just a few phrases here as we begin. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross." That word endured, the cross, He endured, He did persevere. He knew what was before Him. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, He's praying, "Not my will, but Thy will be done. Take this cup from me, Lord, if it be Your will." But He persevered. He knew what the pain was. He knew what the suffering was. He knew He was going to be taken away from the presence of the Father when sin was placed upon Him. But He persevered. He endured the cross. He didn't quit. It goes on to say in the verse, next verse, "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself." He persevered even when they were railing on Him, mocking Him. He didn't quit. He persevered. Jesus endured to the end. And He's challenging all His followers to do the same, to persevere, to endure, to not quit. In this passage in Hebrews chapter 12, in the first three verses, the Christian life here is portrayed as a race. It's a race that must be run with endurance. Jesus, our Lord, has pioneered the path before us. He is waiting for us at the finish line. Every Christian must look to Jesus at the finish line of the race and run the race before them with perseverance. Miss Carolyn ran the race that was before her with endurance and perseverance. And she came to the finish line, and now she's with Jesus. That should be our goal, is to run the race before ourselves and do it with endurance, persevering, not quitting, seeing Jesus before us. You know, back in high school, I ran cross country track, and I was not the best of endurance runners. I had a hard time understanding how to breathe to endure through going over and up and down the hills and through the roots and through the countryside. I had a hard time jumping over fences and keeping up with the pace of everybody else. But I learned from those that led the pack that they ran together because they encouraged each other, they pushed each other, they helped each other, they trailed each other, they learned how to breathe each other and learning how to breathe together, and they were a team running together. And even if it was opposite teams, they were running as a pack, taking strength from each other, pushing each other forward. I was always one of those in the back of the pack trying to catch up, tripping over the roots, falling over the fences, not learning how to breathe properly. I didn't have anybody beside me and helping me, teaching me and coaching me and strengthening me and say, go on, keep going. How do we run that race that we've been given? We should run it with endurance. We should run it with perseverance. This race that we are on is not a typical race. You can think in your mind's eye and think of races that you've seen or have been part of or heard about. It's not a typical race. This race is not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. This race does not require the fastest speed. It requires endurance to the end. This race is not a competition. Those who do well are not restricted to spiritual athletes who are in the toppest of physical fitness form. It's all of our races. We all have our own race that God has given us to run. And we're not to speed through it. We are to endure it. We are to persevere through it, not to quit. This race that's set before us is simply our way of life that we have been given to live for the Lord, to serve Him, to worship Him. Our way of life that claims the entirety of who we are in totality. It takes all of us to run this race. Look back at Hebrews chapter 12 now, beginning in verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also, that pronoun, we is talking about believers, Christians, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ, as our example, has run the race that He was given, and He has shown us that we too can run the race that's given us with endurance, perseverance. The Christian's life that we have is to enrich us and to shape us into the believers that are going to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our roles and our responsibilities that we have, that we live 24/7, to the degree we are willing to persevere each and every day as Christians, we must engage the race. We must make it part of our life. We must strive in it. We must stick to it. Someone I've heard recently preach this message, he talked about that stick-to-itness. We need to stick to what we've been given to do. You know, in this passage, in these three little verses in Hebrews 12, we're given three ways to run the race that's set before us, to do it successfully. So how exactly can we run this race that's set before us to be like Jesus? Remember, we're following His steps of perseverance. We want to be like Christ. We want to be little Christians. We want to be little Christ or Christ-like. So how can we run the race that we've been given with perseverance? You know, we're not running in the dark. We've been given the light. We're not running alone. Jesus is running it with us. The book of Hebrews provides us three ways to keep on the right track. And they're so simple, but yet so profound. First, we see the race is set before us. When we get on the starting block is when we get saved. We're put into the race. Now we have a race to run that's not about self. We have a race to run that's about Jesus, about pleasing Him, about honoring Him. So as we start this race, we must remember that we're running not by ourselves. For it says in the first part of Hebrews chapter 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about was so great a cloud of witnesses." This first verse follows up after Hebrews chapter 11. The great hall of fame of faith, talking about all those great Old Testament saints that have gone on before us, that have run their race. It says, "We also are compassed about was so great a cloud of witnesses." If we think back to ancient times and the ancient races and the sprinters and how they ran, they would dash off for victory, and their crown, their glory, that what they would win would be a laurel wreath. A wreath made out of a plant. That was their victor. It wasn't gold, there wasn't jewels. It was a crown or a wreath of laurels. They often did this in a large arena, running, filled with spectators from stand to stand, wall to wall. Much like a sporting event of days gone by, not during these days, but days gone by, where stadiums would be filled with people. These people would be peering down at the racers, and these racers would be peering up at all the spectators. And as they're running this race, they are encouraged by the excitement of the spectators. That's what it's like in our race. "For we are compassed about also with so great a cloud of witnesses." Miss Carolyn is in a cloud of witnesses today. We could go through our pews and all those that have gone on to glory. They are in that cloud of witnesses today going, "Keep on going, keep on going, don't quit." We're not the only ones to take this journey, the Christian life. People have run this way long before us. All we have to do is go back one chapter and read Hebrews 11 and see some of those that have run the race that they were given and how they ran it well. Our spiritual ancestors, such as Abraham, or Noah, answered God's call, joined the race of life, and set off to obey their master and his will. They set out on the race that was before them, and they gave us a great example of encouragement to keep on going even when it's difficult. Yes, they failed. Yes, they had problems. Yes, they are human. They didn't do everything perfectly, and neither will we. But what we should do when we do fall, when we do mess up, when we do sin against God, is get it right with God and get back up and get back in the race. Not just sit down and say, "Well, I'm done." That's not persevering. That's not enduring. But we don't have to only look back at the heroes of the faith or those that have gone before us. We can find also tonight in these pews, in these pews that we see and in the chairs in our gymnasium each and every week that we've been at church, we can see Christian after Christian that has been on their journey. Has it always been easy? No. Has it always been fun? Well, describe, define your fun. It's the Christian life, though. And we look around us at our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can also take encouragement that they have overcome their struggles. They have overcome their battles. They have overcome those pitfalls, and they're still running for the Lord. See, the powerful example of faithfulness surrounds us each and every day we're in church. It's around us to encourage us, to give us strength, to give us courage to fight on, continue on, run on for Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Word of God says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord." Timotheus was faithful in the Lord. So Paul says, he is a worthy servant. I'm going to send him to you and to the church at Corinth, and he's going to help you. He's a faithful servant of the Lord. And he goes on to say, "Who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways?" Well, if he stopped right there, it'd be like, okay, we're supposed to follow Paul. We're supposed to follow Paul's example. We're supposed to do as Timothy did. He followed Paul. But the Bible verse doesn't stop there. It goes on and says, "Who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ?" Paul was following Jesus. Paul was following the example of Jesus. Think back at how many struggles Paul went through. Was his journey easy? Was his journey always happy and joyous? No. But he kept on for Jesus. He persevered. He endured because his ways were in Christ. And it goes on to say, "As I teach everywhere in every church." He not only taught throughout the Mediterranean area, he was teaching the ways of Christ, not the ways of Paul. Sometimes, however, problems keep us from running our race. Sometimes even the crowd can't cheer us on to get back up. Sometimes there's things that occur in our lives that we've chosen to allow in our lives that entangle us, that get us down, that discourage us. We become downtrodden. We become to the place where we say, "I think I'm just going to stop running." Look back at our Hebrew chapter 12, verse 1 again. "We've seen, wherefore seeing we were also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." The next part says, "Let us," again, talking to believers, not talking to the lost, talking to believers, "let us," and the writer of Hebrews is including themselves here. Most Bible scholars believe the Apostle Paul wrote this book. We don't know for sure, but it looks like, if you follow and understand his writings, it looks like Paul. But even if it's not Paul, it's somebody that it's including himself that says, "I have things in my life that I need to lay aside." He says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Now those weights are not always bad things. The sin is the bad thing. You know, there's choices that we can make that are good choices. But then there are choices that we can make that are better choices. And then there are choices that we can make that are the best choice. So sometimes those weights that we need to lay aside are those good choices, or those better choices, because God wants our best. So sometimes we need to lay aside some things that maybe aren't sin, they are just things that God wants us to take us to another level. And so some things in our lives are bringing us down, weighing us down. Can you imagine a racer, a marathon runner, trying to race with 5-pound dumbbells all over his body? It would slow them down. They would not have the strength to run the race that was before them. They would give out before the race was over. They wouldn't have the endurance. They wouldn't be able to persevere. But if we cast aside, if we lay aside those weights, boy, got a little spring in my step now. I can move a little easier. I'm not so weighed down. But then there's also that matter of sin. Now we know what sin is. And we all have a sin nature. And we all have that nature that we fight with each and every day, that carnal nature. What sin is in our lives that's hindering us from running this race with endurance? It's slowing us down. It's pulling us down. It's causing us not to keep on going with endurance and perseverance for the Lord. We must throw aside, lay aside the sin, but also those weights. In the sporting world of the ancient world, competitors usually ran in a much more natural way. I'll leave it at that. Long before the days of special running attire, the clothes of the time either had to be tied up or taken off. That's how they would run. Otherwise, their garments would entangle them and hinder them from running the race. Our Christian race isn't much different. We can't run very well if we're bound up in the snares of life. Those things that seem so satisfying the moment can take our eyes off the prize. And what's the prize? Finish line. And what's at the finish line? Jesus Christ. Romans 8 verse 13 says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Sometimes as we're coming up to revival now in just a few days, there are things probably in our lives that we need to put to death. We need to mortify the deeds of the flesh so that we can live and run the race that was before us. Life works best when we follow God's word and obey His commands. He didn't give us those commands to trap us, but to free us to run our race with endurance. And when we do so, my, what a view we have before us. We can see clearly the race before us. So we can see also here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, the third way that we can run this race. Looking to the race that's set before us and the great cloud of witnesses encouraging us, throwing aside or casting aside the weights and the sin that entangles us. But also we see here in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one that gives us endurance. He is the one that gives us strength to move forward, to continue on. While we may glance side to side at the crowds of witnesses around us, we may lay aside the things that entangle us. Our ultimate encouragement is to see Jesus. At the beginning of the race, Jesus seemed so far away, so distant. Heaven is so far from me. We know of Him through the gospel records. We know of Him through studying the Scriptures. We've heard how He changed the lives of others and seen it in the pages of the Scriptures. But as a new Christian, our race was new. Faith was new to us. Before long, though, we realize there's a prize waiting at the end. But this is better than some trinket. This is better some reward, some trophy. This is better better than some medallion or medal or trophy or plaque or medallion. This is Jesus Christ, our Savior before us. He's not content. Jesus is not content to just sit and watch us run the race. He's busy running the race with us. Philippians chapter 3. Hold your place here in Hebrews. Let's go over to Philippians and look at this. Philippians chapter 3. Oh, what a Savior we have. Philippians chapter number 3. Look at verse 10. Philippians 3:10, the Word of God says, that I may know Him. Well, if anybody knew Jesus, you would think Apostle Paul knew Jesus. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. As we run and we keep our eyes on Jesus, God works in us and He works on us and makes us more and more like His Son by the test of faith that come in our lives. Ultimately, He will bring us to our long-awaited reward. Look at verse 14 of Philippians 3. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Run the race that's set before you. Let me run the race that's set before me. But let's run it with the understanding that we have Christ running it with us, encouraging us, strengthening us, wanting us to get to Him. Recently, I read about a state high school track meet. And in this track meet, a promising young athlete was featured to win the 1 mile race. Not something that's going to be run with speed, but with endurance. Everyone knew he was going to win the race. And the anticipation was centered mainly on whether or not he would break the record time, not if he would win. One small high school also joined this track meet. They entered runners in every race for the very first time. However, this small school had the misfortune of having their very best runner become ill before the meet. Therefore, he could not enter the race, but the school had committed to entering a racer, a runner in every race that was being run. Standing by his commitment, this coach said, I must put someone in the 1 mile race. He looked at his team, and there was one underclassman, a freshman, who was without a doubt his weakest runner. And he said to him, son, I don't expect you to win. But son, I do expect you to finish. At the starting line, all eyes were on that promising young man that may break the record of his time. For he was sure to come in first place. As expected, that's exactly what he did. He ran the race, he won the race, he beat his record time. The young freshman was still running the race when the first placeman crossed the finish line. He was in distant last place. In fact, they delayed the starting of the next event until he finished the race. When he finally crossed the finish line, the young fellow fell on his face on the pavement, gave out. His face was bloodied and scratched. A judge ran over to him to see if he was okay. As the judge turned the boy over, he was just trying to catch his breath. And he says, why didn't you just quit? Why didn't you just drop out? You knew you were going to lose, said the judge. Grasping, gasping for breath, the young runner said, our best runner was sick. And coach told me to run in his place. I know that, but you didn't have to finish the race. You could have quit, the judge told him. My coach didn't tell me to quit. My coach told me to finish. And that's exactly what I did. Jesus Christ wants us to finish the race that's set before us. He doesn't want us to be quitters like Demas. Go back and study the life of Demas in the New Testament. He quit. God wants us to be a finisher like the Apostle Paul. He wants us to finish our race. He wants to finish our course that's set before us. Some of us may feel like quitting during this coronavirus. The devil would love nothing more than for Christians to fall away, to give up, to sit down, to quit the race. I challenge you to keep on. Get back into church. Get the encouragement from your brothers and sisters that are running with you the race. Learn how to breathe with endurance and persevere through the race. We may become discouraged. We may become downtrodden at times. But that's when our brothers and sisters pick us up and help us along the race. Take heart, Christian. Jesus is at the finish line, and He's waiting for you. Follow in His footsteps and persevere until you have finished your race. Lord, I pray that You would help us finish the race that You have put us on. Lord, I know the coronavirus has gotten many discouraged. There have been times that I've been discouraged, Lord. And Lord, if we'd be honest, there's been times where they said, oh, forget it. It's just easier to stay home. But when we come around our brothers and sisters here, we get encouraged. We get strengthened. We see their faith and it encourages us in our faith. And then we realize we're not running alone. Lord, help us to stay strong and endure the race that You have put us on. Help us, Lord, please, to encourage others to stay in the race. Help us, please, Lord, to never discourage anyone from running the race or to stop running the race. Help us, Lord, please, to run the race with perseverance. Help us to follow in Jesus' footsteps and persevere. Heavenly Father, thank You for loving us. Bless, I pray, Your people in Jesus' name. Amen.